From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Kearns with you once again as we continue to let the Bible speak from the life of Christ on Christ taking Galilee by the power of the Spirit. We'll be returning to that in just a few minutes' time, before which, of course, we'll be bringing you good gospel music, but starting, as we like to do, with our look at some current event, our hot topic for today, 30 Atheists Whistling in the Dark. In what Newsweek describes as one of the greatest collections of religious skeptics ever assembled in one place since Voltaire dined alone, 30 of the world's most outspoken atheists gathered last year in La Jolla, California, to deny God and anticipate the death of religious faith. Some of them admitted that faith in God provides people with a comfort that science finds it hard to compete with. Some admitted that in place of the great certainties of religion, science can offer only little truths that fail to bring comfort to the soul. While one speaker took the moderate line that while science had not made it impossible to believe in God, it had made it possible not to believe in Him, the majority took the hard-line view that science utterly excluded all possibility of God's existence. They all agreed that religion was superstition and that it must pass away, leaving us with science, by which they mean a mechanistic universe that arose out of nothing, for no reason and with no purpose, all directed by omnipotent chance, working out the wonder of cosmic and biological evolution. If ever you needed a proof of the biblical text professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. The 38 mighty men and women of the Beyond Belief Conference of Atheists provides it. These learned men and women are what the Bible describes as fools. The current intelligent design debate shows that serious scientists find clear evidence of a creator in their particular scientific disciplines. This doesn't prove God, but it does show that the vitriolic rantings of the La Jolla 30 are no more than atheist propaganda dressed up as science. What makes it all the more unconscionable for them to rant as they do is the fact that the God they so vehemently deny has stamped His law on their hearts. They are without excuse. They're not atheists because science has driven them to be atheists. They're atheists because of the deliberate wickedness of their hearts. Theirs is a crime against light. And that's why the Bible calls them fools. A long time ago, Voltaire anticipated the death of the Bible and Christianity. Voltaire has long ago gone to meet his Maker, and Christianity is as lively as ever, and the Bible is still the world's best-selling book. It's perhaps ironic that the very house he lived in became the depot for the Bible Society. The La Jolla 30 will be no more successful than Voltaire. When they and their superstitious trust in blind evolutionary forces have long been forgotten, the God of truth will go marching on.
From the curve. In each broadcast here on Let the Bible Speak, we offer some free literature. One booklet we mention is A New Beginning, and I'd like to say a word to you about it. A New Beginning is an updated version. By updated, I refer mostly to the artistic presentation of the material, though the text has been slightly expanded. It's an updated version of a booklet I first produced in the 1970s. Since then, something around 500,000 copies have been distributed, and the Lord has richly blessed it. The booklet is a plain man's guide to what the Bible says on the matter of how to be saved. With an abundance of scripture quotation, it's an excellent yet simple presentation of the gospel to meet the needs of the lost. But it doesn't stop there. It goes on to explain the biblical basis of assurance and to give instructions in the first steps of the Christian life. If you're not saved and would like help in understanding God's way of salvation, if you battle with the matter of assurance, or if you're a young believer needing help in the first steps of your new life, then this booklet will help you. We'll be glad to send it to you free of charge if you write or call and request it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. And our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. We trust that you'll be in touch with us soon. And if you need to have one, we'll be delighted to send you A New Beginning.
Turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, and the subject of Christ taking Galilee by the power of the Spirit. We're looking at the message that he preached, the gospel of the kingdom. This is a very important subject. It's one upon which there's a lot of misconception, a lot of foolish notions have been put about, as if the gospel that Christ preached wasn't the gospel that he later had his apostles preach. It wasn't any way like the gospel of the grace of God. This is an absolute falsification of the New Testament witness. And so we are starting again today at the point that I touched on yesterday, the gospel of the kingdom, what it isn't, and then what it is. So let's turn to the Word of God.
This is not one of seven different gospels. Let me make that very clear to you. This is not a way of salvation distinct from the gospel of the grace of God. Anybody who has ever read Acts chapter 20 has to see that in plain black and white, and the absolutely certain testimony of the apostle where he equates the two. This is not another way of salvation. This is not a gospel for a different dispensation. This is an aspect of the one true everlasting gospel, the gospel of the kingdom. What is it? As the Lord Jesus went about Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom, we must understand that he was preaching the good news that the long promised kingdom had at last arrived. Now, to the Jews, that was staggering and exciting information. Unfortunately, they interpreted it in one sense only, and like most people, they got it all wrong. The Lord Jesus, interestingly, termed this gospel of the kingdom the gospel of the kingdom of what? Of heaven and the kingdom of God. This kingdom is called the kingdom of heaven. I think that may well describe its nature. It stands distinct from all the kingdoms of the world. And yet its sphere is here on this earth. And by using this description, the kingdom of heaven, this heavenly kingdom operating in the sphere of earth, the Lord Jesus Christ clearly states that his kingdom, if I may borrow the words of Patrick Fairburn, with whom I don't really entirely agree in other places, but I think this is a beautiful statement, that his kingdom is set in opposition to all the empire of evil, the dominion of sin in the individual and the race. When the Lord Jesus went about preaching the kingdom, it was the kingdom of heaven, the rule of heaven in the hearts of men. And he's saying, I am setting up a kingdom in the hearts of men that is opposed to all the empire of evil, all the dominion of sin. This is the kingdom of heaven. Good news indeed. Isn't that still good news for people who are slaves of passion, lust, and pride? For people who are the plaything of Satan, for people whose lives are wrecked and ruined, and there is no hope for them in self, and there's no hope for them in religion, and there's no hope for them in philosophy, and there's no hope for them in the world. Man, you can come and you can tell them the gospel of Christ the King. He is able to subdue us and our iniquities, and he's able to set up his throne in the heart of the most debauched and the most depraved, conquering the power of sin and of evil and the dominion of the devil. Bless God, there's power in the blood to set sinners free. There's power with Christ to make men new creatures. There's power with this King of grace that takes the most broken life and puts it together, takes the most debauched life and makes it clean, takes the most devil-possessed life and makes it free. Now I want to tell you, that's the gospel of the kingdom. And it's still worth preaching. And I tell it to you today, not as a matter merely of information, but as a matter of conviction. And if you're here defeated by sin, and almost to the point of being eternally damned by sin, and you wonder, is there no hope, is there no help? Then I tell you, there is both hope and help, because Christ came preaching the gospel of his sovereign power over sin. That is the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. But the Lord Jesus called his kingdom also the kingdom of God. And that speaks more of its source. It's of God as distinct as those kingdoms that come from man and from Satan. This kingdom is the kingdom of God because it comes from God. It is established by God. Now, you'll see how restrained I'm being this morning. I've heard so much about David Braham only preaching 45 minutes that I've got to try and catch up. I'm being very restrained. Every one of these is a major theological statement. And you could take a lot of time. This kingdom comes from God. Not from church activity. Not from some do-gooder campaign. It comes from God. It's established by God. The church in the 19th century was completely blown off course as it bought into the notion that it could bring about the kingdom of God by its own social enterprises. And it was a disaster, both for the world and for the church. It is sustained by God. Oh, let's get that. Here's the victory. While there's a difference between the church and the kingdom that I'm not going to go into this morning yet, for the purpose of this statement, we can make them synonymous. And if you think I'm stretching my theology there, think again, I'm not. But this kingdom is sustained by God. Jesus said of his church, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Why? Because Christ is sustaining it. There's victory for the cause of God no matter how dark the day in which we live. There's victory for the church of Christ no matter how strong the opposition forces are arrayed against us. What we need to do is get through to God and obtain the input of the Almighty. When this church has been under attack, when this preacher's ministry has been called in question, and there have been times when the question mark over both was great and the attack was strong, I remember distinctly going before God and saying, Lord, if this is all it takes to destroy this church, then destroy it. If this is all that it takes to destroy this preacher's ministry, then destroy it. If some little arrow from the devil, if some little slander from the world, if some attack from some minion of the pit can derail this whole work of God, then it's not a work of God at all. And many a time I've gone before God with these very words, Lord, if you will not stand up to defend this cause, then I have no interest in defending it. You see, He is the one who sustains the kingdom. He sustains it. And bless God, He does it not only in that corporate level, but in the individual level. He preserveth the souls of His saints. And when King Jesus comes to reign in your heart, I want to tell you, He sustains you, and He keeps you, and He strengthens you, and He supports you. Oh, the devil's against you, and the lusts of the flesh are against you, and the world's against you, and everything that hell can throw at you may be thrown at you. But I want to tell you, when Jesus saves you, Jesus keeps you, and He sustains you in grace. That's why I believe in the perseverance of the saints. I believe that Christ perseveres in His grace to us. God perseveres in His purpose toward us. The Holy Spirit perseveres in His application of redemption to us. And therefore we, preserved by the persevering grace of God, we go on with God. Because Christ the King says, my kingdom is the kingdom of God, and it's sustained by Him. And it is, thank God, administered by Him. Dear heart, as Voss said of this kingdom, it is the actual exercise of the divine supremacy in the interest of the divine glory. That's as beautiful a definition of the kingdom as I have ever read. What is this kingdom? It is the actual exercise of the divine supremacy in the interest of the divine glory. Voss goes on to point out, not original to him, of course, because it's so plain in Scripture, three great fundamental ideas incorporated in this kingdom. The idea of power. From all that I've said, you can't get away from the idea of power. Jesus said to the Jews, Matthew 12:28, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. You see the power of the kingdom. We see it here in what we have been reading. He went about Galilee and he met the strangest and strongest manifestations of the powers of hell. And what did he do? With a word, with a touch, he destroyed them. That's power. That's power. Man, I love that statement we just, I'm not saying we discussed, for I preached on, I hope you listened a couple of months back, Romans 1. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God. It's one reason, and I'm really running ahead of myself, but I mightn't get as far as I want this morning anyway. But it's one reason I am disturbed at the movement in the modern church away from preaching. We have preachers who are trained PR men. They're trained administrators. They're trained business executives. They know how to raise money. They know how to keep people happy. They know how to do psychological counseling. But how seldom do you find somebody who has the anointing of God to preach? Now, there's a place for all these skills that these men have. And I suppose in some ways you could say it's sour grapes if I don't have those skills. But God has ordained through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.